I am Pastor Abby. I'm glad that you're with us today. If you are new, I am still a little bit new too, so please let me know on the way out so that we can get to know each other better. Our scripture reading for today comes from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them.
He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake.
In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beautiful beloveds, do you believe that the Bible is true?
Yes.
Yeah? Sacred sinners, do you believe Jesus is a trustworthy witness to God's character?
Yes. Yeah?
So my siblings in Christ, why do we unconsciously believe Santa Claus is coming to town over 1 John 4? With our mouths, maybe even our conscious minds, we affirm God is love. We tell other people, God loves you. And we really mean it, don't we? We really mean it when we say that. And yet many of us are kind of, you know, off to the side, keeping our own list of the good things we've done in the hopes that it will make us worthy of God's love. Or we've checked our own list, checked it twice, and crumpled it into a ball, convinced we have not done enough to earn God's love. We never can, and we're just hopeless. You been there? Yeah. So, in this series, The Good and Beautiful God, we are constantly bumping up against the differences between what Jesus says about God and what other people, including us, say and or believe about God. Sometimes, we're even bumping up against that within ourselves, that part of us knows that and part of us thinks something else, and these two are colliding. And so, in this series, we've been asking, is God an angry judge punishing sins? or a God who works for good in all things? Is God, or does God put tricks in the fine print, or can God be trusted no matter what humans do? Is God a retailer who must be paid for what we want and who might run out of our size? Or does God generously give to people because God is good and loving and therefore generous? Which brings us to today. Is God Santa Claus, who only loves us when we're on the nice list? Or is God's most foundational nature, most defining characteristic, love? Spoiler alert, in case I lose you partway through, it's the second one. God is love. God is love. The foundation of all reality is that God is love. And it's free and unearned love at that. So why does 1 John repeat that so many times? Did all 9 verses kind of sound the same to you today? Well, it's for the same reason that Reverend Dr. James Brian Smith wrote all these chapters that all have different false narratives and different truths about God, but our sermons sound like variations on a theme. It's because we need to have it repeated to get it into our heads and from our heads into our hearts. For most of us, many of us, the part that knows and agrees that God's love flows from God's most foundational nature as love and not our actions, that part's kind of small and up here for most of us. And the part that actually believes whether and how much God loves us is based on our actions is bigger and down here. So the tip of the iceberg is often nothing in size compared to what's underneath. So many a human heart has shipwrecked on this internal disagreement, just like the Titanic. And why? When the Bible so clearly says God is love, why? Well, you know, it's just because we are human beings and we start with what we have experienced. What all those false narratives about God have in common is that they start with a human behavior pattern projected onto God, and then it has a God-sized impact on us and our lives. And why not? Because we humans, we're always trying to make sense of the world, because if we can't make sense of the world, we just go crazy and we can't do anything. And we want to try and have some control, so we try to make sense of what's going on. And often we use this form of logic: if A, then B. If not A, then not B. For example, if the air is hot and humid and a big wall of dark gray and purple clouds is rapidly coming towards me, then a thunderstorm is about to happen and I should take cover. But if the sky is a clear blue with no clouds, then no thunderstorm. This is really the basis of our modern science, testing out whether this idea of A reliably leads to the result of B, and can other scientists duplicate that result? And at a certain level, our economic systems also work that way. If I work A number of hours, then I get paid B number of dollars. If I do not have A number of dollars, then I cannot buy B. Yeah, that's how we make sense of the world, how we get along with each other. And we do the same thing sometimes with human behavior. Now, in school, I was always trying to figure out what was it that made the cool kids cool? Well, they all wore Levi's red tab jeans. So if I wore Levi's red tab jeans, would I be cool? No, I did not duplicate that result. That was not the secret. But, I mean, we laugh, but we do the same thing with love. Much of the beauty and marketing industries are based on selling us the idea, if we use this product, we will look better. If we have this product, we'll be cooler and our lives will be better. And P, people will love us more. So a girl who hears her mother say approvingly, "Look how skinny you look in that dress," might unconsciously think, "My mom loves me more when I weigh less." And a boy who hears his father yell, "Why am I raising a pig?" might unconsciously think, "My dad doesn't love me as much because my room is so much messier than my brother's." And a parent who receives a rare, enthusiastic hug with a, "You're the best parent ever," when granting a new privilege, might unconsciously think, "My child loves me more when I let them do stuff that I worry about." Parenting and growing up are both impossible. But learning that other people interact with us differently based on how we look and what we do is a crucial life lesson. My teacher doesn't yell at me if I follow the rules. My parents let me have a later curfew if I get home on time. People take me more seriously when I'm more dressed up. All of that could be true. And it's part of what we have to learn about living together with each other, that how we interact, how we present, what we say, what we do, it impacts what other people are going to do in response. And it is also true that some people do love us more or less based on what we say or how we look. But the problems start for us when we apply what we learned about people's behavior to God's love. And so we might know like consciously, oh, I shouldn't agree with these statements, but unconsciously, these are some of the things we think. If I go to church every week, then God will love me, and then I won't go to hell. If I pray for 3 hours every day, then God will love me, and then none of my family will get cancer. If I serve meals to homeless people on the blue bus every week, then that will make up for all the stuff I did before I was a Christian, and then God will love me. We might know that, I shouldn't say that it works that way, but also I kind of think that it does. And this is essentially what the religious leaders of Jesus' time were teaching. And let's be honest, many religious leaders today teach this as well. They had confused the teaching of how to live well together and our response of devotion, like our offering is our response of devotion. They'd confused that with earning God's love. And when we consider God's splendor and perfection, the God that made, 20 billion trillion stars, something crazy like that, when we consider that, it's easy to think we are unworthy of such a being, and we should try to do something to earn God's love. But here's the thing. If you get sick and you can't go to church, what kind of God sends you to hell for that? If you have ADHD and you can't do anything for 3 hours straight, what kind of God punishes with cancer? If you work off your prior sin serving, but not the ones that you didn't even realize you did, what kind of God withholds love for that? That's a small and petty God. I wouldn't do those things, would you? For God to be God, God has to be better than me. And the good news is that God is. God is love. Jesus tells us the only way to apply human behavior to God is to imagine it better and perfect. And he's at the end of a story that he tells, he says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So to understand God, we start with God and we go to us. And in the very first chapter of the Bible, we see God turning love into matter, into creation, us, the plants, everything around us, and proclaiming all of it good including people. And in the very last book of the Bible, we see God redeeming creation by fully uniting with it, not destroying it. And in between, we see Jesus telling us what God is like, a prodigal father who loves his son no matter that he screwed up six ways from Sunday, and who loves his angry and self-righteous other son who's angry that he loves. We see Jesus showing us what God is like when he has parties with people who can never measure up. We hear Jesus telling us what God is like when he tells religious leaders that keeping the rules is missing the point if it separates people from God and doesn't make life better for those who are poor and suffering. What if it's true that God is love? What if God's primary characteristics include care for all creatures and compassion for their suffering, delight in their beauty and uniqueness, order for safety, consequences for growth, forgiveness for their mistakes, cheering their potential, and always wanting the best? What if God loves you not because of what you did or didn't do, but because you are made in God's divine image? What if God gave us rules not to judge us or punish us for falling short, but so that we could learn how to love? What if God loves you because God can't not love you? What if we start with who Jesus says God is instead of our fears? And what would change if we knew, if we truly knew deep down in our hearts and our bones that 1 John is truer than Santa Claus is coming to town? What if God is love? God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you every week, desperately wanting to hear this truth, this word, that you love us. And some weeks we hear that loud and clear, and we carry it through the week with us, and we're able to share your love with others because we know your love for us. And then there's other weeks when we want to believe and we can't quite believe that it's true, or we want to believe, but we've heard some loud voices saying that nobody could love us, that we're unlovable, or that what we've done is unforgivable. However we come, your love waits for us here, and your love goes with us through the week. And so we pray that you would give us some kind of sign today, throughout this week, of your great love for us. That when we are feeling unlovable, that you would put into our minds that indeed you do love us. And for us to at least ask the question, what if God loves us? And then maybe to be able to ask, what if God loves these people around me? Thank you for your love divine, all loves excelling, that loves us no matter what we say or do, and calls us to a life filled with love. In the name of Jesus, who put on flesh to come among us and tell us that, we pray. Amen. Please rise in spirit or in body for the final hymn.